Okay, come down the front, everyone. If I knock this thing over, please forgive me. Okay, so it's nice to see so many faces. This is frightening the heck out of me. I got notes here. I need to stick to the script. Anyway, Jared has started a series on teaching us about the Lord's Prayer, and Ruth has just read the prayer itself. Who of you guys can remember what the first line is? I'm glad Jared can remember. Okay. It's our Father in heaven. Now, Katya talked to us last week about fathers. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because the word heaven seems like such a big word. Now, do you guys have any idea what or where heaven is like? Jimmy? Wide? And in the sky? Anyone else got any ideas about heaven?
It's a tough crowd.
It's a, right. Where Jared says where God is. Yes. So this is interesting, isn't it? I think he's relieved. I'm more relieved than he is. Now, in Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible, in the first chapter, heaven is mentioned many times. And it talks about how the Lord created heaven and earth. What I did not know is that heaven is mentioned nearly 700 times in the Bible. So it's talked about a lot. And when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he was obviously making sure that they knew where God is. And I think the other thing for me that's really important about heaven is it's this place. If God is there, it is going to be filled with love and with peace. And I think the other cool thing is there'll be no more sickness or tears. So, yes, we live on earth, but we're very excited to be joined with our Lord Jesus in heaven one day. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to come and save us. And Lord, we look forward to joining you in heaven one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kids out to kids' church. Gemma is going to be looking after you today. And Carrie.
All right, good morning, everyone. My name's Jared. I'm the pastor here at High Wycombe, and it's wonderful to have you with us. I would just like to start by mentioning our dear sister Marilyn, who passed away recently, who joined our church sometime over the past year, and was she was staying in a little place called Coringle Green, and she came to become a part of our church. Her family dropped her off the first time, and then number of people would drive her to church, which was a real blessing. And if you knew Marilyn, you would know that she just shined the light of Jesus. You know, you just talk to her and it's like how thankful she is for everything, how she looks out at the world and she just sees God's grace and his love. And I was thinking about this, and the Bible talks a lot about like being thankful all the time. And I was just like, man, that's what I saw in Marilyn. You could just see the Holy Spirit work that through her. And it's very sad that she's passed. But we are joyful that she's gone to be with Jesus, her Lord and Savior, and our Lord and Savior. And there's a great deal of peace in knowing that she's now with Jesus, not confused anymore. She was having some struggles with remembering things, but she's not having those struggles anymore. She's in the presence of the Lord Jesus, knowing his love and grace and peace. Even more fully than she knew it when she was walking with us. So I also just want to mention that she was just such a ray of sunshine, that lady. I mean, it's just like you could be having a difficult day and then you talk to her and she's just like brightens your day, because her whole life had been brightened by the love of the Lord Jesus. It was a privilege to go to her funeral with Rob and Paul and Naomi and her family. And just hear of her life that just shone the life and love of Christ. So I just wanted to mention her, and I'd also like to just pray for her family and friends now. So if you'd please join me as we do that. Our Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for Marilyn, who shone your light so beautifully that your Holy Spirit worked in her heart such a wonderful thanksgiving, such a wonderful encouraging nature to those around her. We just thank you, Lord, for the love that she showed. We thank you that she's with you now, that she's no longer struggling with not knowing what's going on, and she's truly at peace with you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the time we had with her, although it was a relatively short time in the context of being sort of just under a year or sometime under a year. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing she was to us in that time. And we thank you for the blessing she was to many people in her life, where she was a teacher, where she worked as a nursing sister, where she was a loving auntie, sister, friend, just a really beautiful example of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can look at Marilyn's life and be greatly encouraged that you are working. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives too, that we would have the same outlook that she did, that we would look upon our world with great thanksgiving for your work, Father. And we pray that we would not complain, but would find ourselves full of thanksgiving because of you, our great God, and the wonder of who you are and what you've done. So, Lord, we do want to especially pray for Marilyn's family as they grieve her passing. Thank you, Lord, that they know you and they know the peace it is to look forward to one day being reunited with her. But we do pray that you sustain them in this time where they can't see her now. But we thank you that we're headed to forever where we will once again see her as we gather around the throne of the Lord Jesus and praise him forevermore. Lord, we pray as we turn to look to the Lord's Prayer now that you give us great wisdom and insight. Calm any sort of nerves, I was going to say norries, but that's not a word. Calm any nerves or worries we have in our hearts, Lord. Help us to just leave the distractions behind us and look to Christ. And by your Spirit, would you work that we might see you more clearly and praise you more fully. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're having a time where you're processing grief or anything, please do come and talk to us. Even if it's just you'd like us to pray for you, we would love to do that because we're a family here and we want to walk with one another through all of that. A few years ago, it's probably quite a few years ago now, I was reading the Bible with my friend who's an atheist, and we read the Bible together for maybe 3 or 4 years, up until the point where he saw the gospel made sense and then he cut me off. I remember that our last conversation, we were talking, going back and forth about the logic of the gospel, and he finally admitted, like, yeah, he was like, logically, this holds water, this makes sense, and then never heard from him again. So, which is sad. So please, you know, pray for my friend Tim. The Lord does something in his life at some point. But that was a special time that we got to spend together studying the Bible. He loved reading the King James Version. And it was great. We enjoyed that time. I remember one time he asked me, he said, "Where is Jesus right now?" And I was like thinking, I know this one. At the right at the right hand of the Father. And so that he asks me, "Where is the Father?" So I like scratched my head thinking, to the left of Jesus. he thought that was pretty funny. He posted that on Facebook. and I think his friends thought that was funny too. And I knew the Lord's Prayer at the time, and I knew it starts with "Our Father in Heaven," so why I didn't say that, I'm not sure. But the reason I bring that up is it's difficult sometimes to place our finger on thinking these things through, like where God is, and thinking about what is heaven? What does it mean for our Father to be in heaven? How is he there and here, and how does that all work? Now, the world has plenty of different ideas about God and if he exists, and if so, where he is, and what he thinks, and all of those sorts of things. You've got everything from atheism, that people think that God is nowhere because he doesn't exist. That's one sort of thought that people have. You've got agnosticism, where people think, I don't know if he's there, let alone where there is, if you think about it. There's sort of, I don't know if there's a God out there, and if he is there, I have no idea where he is. You've got pantheism, which is everything is God. Here he is, there he is, everywhere, everything, everyone is divine. That's one thought that people have. You've got panentheism, which is the belief that God is in everything. So whereas pantheism says God is the tree and says that I'm God, the table's God, the carpet's God. Panentheism says that God is in everything. So God is in me, God is in the tree, God is in the table, all those sorts of things. You've got deism, which is that God is there, but he doesn't care. God's out there somewhere, but he's checked out. And he doesn't care enough about us to let us know how to get there, wherever he is. So that's kind of deism. So you've got these a wide variety. There's lots of different ways that people sort of think about God. And some pull towards immanence, which is a big word, which sort of is talking about God's presence here with us. So that's immanence, him here with us. Some pull more towards transcendence, which is talking about God being greater and beyond us. And you can see that there's this sort of like pull, and they're trying to balance these two things. In Christianity, we see that God is infinite beyond our comprehension, and God is near beyond our wildest dreams. I'll say that again to help us think about that. God is infinite beyond our comprehension, and God is near beyond our wildest dreams. So God is truly both transcendent and immanent. He goes beyond our understanding, and yet he comes right here to be with us. And that's the God of the Bible. That's the God we see revealed to us in the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to think about those two things today. Think about God being transcendent and God being immanent. Sometimes we move a bit quicker through Bible passages than we're doing with the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes it's nice to just stop and slow down and really just dig in and think more about what's going on. So we've thought about last week, our Father, him being that personal, relational God to us, not just me, but to us as a community. And this week we're thinking about him being in heaven and thinking about him being here with us. Let's start with in heaven. Now, back in the time, back in the USSR, back in the time of the Soviet Union, there's a Beatles reference for you. I like the Beatles. There was a massive percentage of the population who were Orthodox Christians. Did you know that? That's a fun fact. And that's a bit of a problem for a country that's trying to control its people, because their ultimate allegiance isn't to the country, but it's to God. So they thought, well, we can solve this. They got a bunch of peasants, put them in planes, and flew them up into the sky and said, look, you can't see God. He's not there. To try and get these people to disbelieve the existence of God, because they would take them to the heavens or the skies, look outside the plane, and you can't see him. The plan kind of backfired because the peasants would go, wow, to see the beauty of God's creation is amazing. or they alternatively would go, well, we obviously just didn't fly high enough to see him. And so it didn't really work. If you look at the stats, though, I think the Orthodox belief went sharply down. But then once the Soviet Union fell, it went sharply up again. So it's almost like they were maybe fiddling with the statistics. I think they were. But the point is, we can try and think about what does it mean for God to be in heaven, and sort of that kind of thought that, oh, you know, he's just above the clouds is kind of one of the thoughts as to how people think about that. But what do we mean when we say God is in heaven? Is he somewhere that if we just flew far enough away, we'd find him? I mean, humans tried something like that with the Tower of Babel, but ultimately their pursuit of fame and recognition and a name for themselves was brought to nothing. And I love how it even says there, back in Genesis 11, it says that God came down, and it says it a few times. So even as they're building this massive, astonishing tower, that's sort of the monument of what humans are doing, you know, trying to do in their own strength, God still has to come down to get near that tower. And I just love that picture of showing, yes, for all of what they can do to what we can do to get a name for ourselves and recognition and fame, we can't work our way up to God. That's just not how it works. God still has to come down. And so when we say that God is in heaven, we don't mean that if we just go looking for him like a treasure chest, that we're going to come upon him. So if you just wait, you know, till Artemis 65, then we'll find God. No, that's not how it works. There's another dimension. Our Bibles speak of the heavenly realms or the heavenlies. There's a whole other dimension that's just as real, but in which things are even more as they really are, if you like. And So when the Bible says Father in heaven, it's not saying that we can track him down by getting in a spaceship. It's talking about God being infinite beyond our comprehension. It means that God is the ultimate one. It means that God is the king of the universe. It means that he's holy, that God presides over the universe, that he is enthroned, that he's awesome. He is our Father. He is in heaven. He rules, he's enthroned, and he's king. And so when we think of our Father in heaven, we're thinking of the almighty king over everything, who goes beyond our ability to comprehend. You know, you think about how, yeah, just try and think of God for a second. It's actually hard to conceive of him. We can't fully comprehend him in his totality because he's so beyond us. He's transcendent. He is awesome. He's glorious. He's holy. But his heavenliness doesn't make him far away. And that's the beauty that we see in the Christian faith. Now, he is truly transcendent. He is truly beyond us in that sense. He's greater than us. He sits enthroned above the heavens. He is the Almighty One. And yet, he's not far from us. He's our loving dad. He's our incarnate Christ and our indwelling spirit. Loving dad, let's think about that. He invites us to come near. And when you think about your father, hope many of us have good relationships with our fathers. If we don't, again, I'm sorry to hear that, and may God comfort you through that. When you think about a loving father, it's the kind of person that you're drawn to. You want to be close to. You want to spend time with. You want to be there to be with, and someone that you can trust, and someone that you can rely on, someone that is approachable, not distant. I remember this. My dad and I we used to watch this show called John Adams because my mom didn't want to watch it. That's not the only reason we watched it. Hey, Dad. which is about one of the founding fathers. I think it was Paul Giamatti. And there was this bit where he comes home and his kids are like untying his shoes. I think my dad was like, yeah, like, you know, this looks kind of good. Sorry, Dad, I should. Anyway, my dad wasn't and isn't like that. But it's just funny because it's like sometimes, especially in those times, people had this concept of a dad, which is like, he's unapproachable. He's the kind of guy that, yeah, we untie his shoes, but he's not like emotionally available to us. but that's not what our God is like. He's our Father. Yeah, he has all the authority in the universe because he's our Father in heaven, but he's our loving dad who calls us close to him. He doesn't just want us to untie his shoes and have nothing to do with us. He invites us into relationship with him. And so when you have a loving dad, you can draw near. And that's exactly what it's like with God. Our God is the incarnate Christ, who is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, that God in his love and in his grace condescended, which means came down, took on a humble position to walk this earth. Think about the reality that God himself was born as a baby to come into this world, to show us his love, to show us how approachable he is, and then to accomplish the very thing necessary to make us able to come to him with boldness by dying for us and rising again. He has paved the way. He is the way that we might draw near to God because God is with us, Emmanuel. It's not like we could make our way up to him. No, Babel shows that was never going to work. we know if we think about our own selves, we're never going to climb that ladder to God. No, he climbs down in Christ. And that's the beauty of our incarnate Christ, that God took on flesh that he might dwell with us. God with us. And now the indwelling spirit, our awesome God is also his Father, Son, and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he is God in us. For all of us who know him, all of us who believe in Jesus, God has made his home in us. And that is an astonishing privilege to think that the great and glorious God who goes beyond all comprehension would come and make his home in our hearts. That he would give us a new heart, that he would put his spirit within us, that he would cleanse us from all our uncleannesses, and that he would give us new life. And as he does all of this, he's delighting in bringing life. This is the God we get to worship. You know, this, I mean, like, let's get excited. You know, sometimes, you know, if we come to church and we're like, no, this is awesome. Like, think about this. This is the great God of the universe who loves us so much, and he's revealed himself to us. He's our loving dad who's inviting us to come near. He's the incarnate Christ, our Lord Jesus, who is God with us. And he's our indwelling Holy Spirit who's come to live in us. What an awesome loving God he is. And the Bible teaches us that God is everywhere. In Psalm 139, 7 to 10, it says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." God is beautifully present everywhere. Oh, sorry. God is beautifully present everywhere, and God is specially present. And we see this in the Bible, in the tabernacle. We see in the tent of meeting. We see it in the temple. We see that fulfilled in Christ, and then we see that in us by his Spirit. What an awesome, loving God he is. So he's near, both in the general sense, in that he is everywhere, but also in the special sense, because of his great love, he has purposed and planned to enter into this universe that he made to rescue us, to be with us, to make his home with us. And this is the kind of love that he is the kind of love that's drawn towards others, not out of what can be gained from us, but what can be given to us. And that's a radical challenge to the view that God is just sort of holding out on us, or begrudgingly passing on a blessing or two when he has to from time to time. No, this is our loving Father, our incarnate Christ, our Lord who's with us, who came to walk this earth, and the indwelling Holy Spirit who has made his home in us. You know, back in the Old Testament, we have, like, only the high priest once a year enters into the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy Spirit has come to make his home in us. And that's astonishing grace. And that's astonishing nearness. Ephesians says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, or in the heavenly realms, or in the heavenlies, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." And it goes on, "In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons in Christ Jesus." And so there's just this beautiful way that God has made himself known. God is truly beyond us. He is truly the Almighty One. You know, he's not someone to be treated with disrespect or irreverence. And yet, in his glory, he isn't far away from us. He's the kind of glorious God who loves to draw near to us. In all of our brokenness, in all of our sin. I mean, just think about this. When Jesus walked the earth and he would sit down and have lunch, who was he having lunch with? The sinners and the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the outcasts. It didn't matter who these people were. It didn't matter that other people didn't want anything to do with these people. Jesus comes and he shines his light and shows his love in those deepest and darkest corners of our world and those deepest and darkest corners of our hearts. You see, this is the God that we know. This is the God who's revealed himself. He really is real, and he really is beyond us, and yet he really is with us. So bring this together. God is holy, and God has made his home in us. God presides over the universe, and God is present in his universe. God is awesome, and God is approachable. Our God is in heaven and he's here. So what would it look like for us to go deeper with God? Well, we need to both recognize his grandeur and his grace, his awesomeness and his approachability. I mean, we can sometimes, I guess, tend to think of one of those more than the other, can't we? We tend to think of God as awesome, but we don't necessarily think of him as approachable. Maybe we think he's just far off, and yes, he's awesome and almighty, but we might feel like he doesn't really want to have a relationship with me. Or maybe we could tend the opposite, and we think of God as approachable, but we forget how truly wonderful and capable and awesome he is. So I think as we walk the Christian life, we can ask God that he would help us to remember that he is both our almighty God and our approachable Father. And that's a beautiful thing. God is infinite beyond our comprehension. God is near beyond our wildest dreams. What would it look like if I prayed like that? What would my prayers look like if when I woke up in the morning, that's the God I'm thinking of? What would it look like when I read his word that I think that's the God who spoke this? What would it look like if as I walk around and see my Christian brothers and sisters, I see a fellow people who bear the image of God and who are filled with his Holy Spirit? How could the way that I think, the way that I act, the way that I live, be more shaped and fashioned by the wonderful truths that God is both beyond and near? And I think for me, it encourages me to pursue a relationship with him even more. So not just put it to the side, you know, but heaps of distractions in our lives. We can distract ourselves, you know, for 80 years and then boop, we're gone. But what would it look like for us to make the best use of the time? And I think this is it. We've got to look to God continually, both in his grandeur and his glory and his grace. And what an encouragement that is. If you're feeling down, know that God is glorious and he's gracious. If you're feeling encouraged, let's not forget that it's the glorious, gracious God who's given us all the blessings we have. And it breaks down barriers, it breaks down walls, and it invites us in. So my encouragement to all of us is to remember and reflect that God is in heaven and he's here. Our Father in heaven, will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we give you the praise and the glory. You deserve all glory and honor and majesty and power and dominion. They are all yours. You rule this world. You're enthroned in heaven. You are our great and loving God, and you love to show us your grace and kindness. And so, Lord, help us to marvel at you. Help us to be filled with awe at how truly awesome you are, and to be filled with thanksgiving in our hearts, just like our sister Marilyn was, for your great grace and love on display all around us. We pray, Lord, for your continued work and movement in our world, in our little part of your world here, that we might see more people come to know you, our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.